Well, yesterday we talked about a number of things that I was amazed at, that everyone that named the name of Christ didn't believe or didn't accept when after I became a believer. And I thought we'd expand on them. We didn't talk about faith. What shocked me about faith was that I couldn't believe anyone, now we're getting personal here, I couldn't believe anyone would think that faith was a means by which you got something.
That's rather unique. Is that just from your experience and background with yoga?
No, it has nothing to do with yoga.
No, it's not test yoga, but I mean, that's rather unique that somebody would not adulterate faith that way.
Well, it's just what I
saw.
Everybody
else was back in the 70s.
Oh, well, they still are. No, it just was what I saw in that internal mind's eye when the night that I became a believer. You know, nobody believes in me, but somebody believes in me sometimes. But I haven't learned anything about God and Christ since the moment that I became a believer. I've learned a lot about the effect of what that means, but you know, the essence of the mystery was there the moment that I became a believer. I've resurrected myself a jillion times. You know, I told you that. You know, I was, and the evil one knows where to attack you, because for me the attack was along the lines of power. And so, and I still had an interest in politics, and so I started praying that God would use me in politics. And I mean, I get nauseous when I think about that now. Or the whole idea when, you know, we were going to get Channel 39, the television station, they were going to Doubleday, a huge company that owned Channel 39. We showed them a way that they could donate it to us, and make more money than by selling it. And it was all gone through and met with their board of directors, and all the legal papers were ready to be approved by their board. And then all of a sudden Pat Robertson stepped in, and he ended up getting it. And I thought, for a moment there I was convinced that Satan was in control of the world, because he gave the television station to Pat Robertson instead of us.
Every time you tell that story.
But it's the best thing that ever happened. I mean, my God, I would hate, because I would have done the same thing. I would have gone for the network. And now when I look at it, that's the absolute most stupid last thing I ever knew or could ever see, because I now know that you cannot show forth. The only reason media exists is to do what John the Baptist said. It's to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance, to show the futility and emptiness of human effort. And that can't be done with the way religious broadcasting is doing it. Anyway, what?
Every time you tell that story, everything in me is going, thank God you didn't get it. Thank God you didn't get it. It was even funny the way you said it. Satan gave it to Pat Robertson.
Well, that's what I know now. But the one thing that I did notice in all the study was that there appeared to be contradictions in the scripture. And so through all the study, every time that I saw an apparent contradiction, it was that scripture in Psalms, all things are double to what they appear. And so what it, every time I saw a what I thought was a contradiction, it became an incredible incredible revelation.
Revelation didn't ever.
Yeah. The one major thing was, well, there was a couple, but one of them was the idea that that God was doing something for me. And I got sucked into that briefly. And it's so subtle, especially in the charismatic or Pentecostal movement, to believe that God's purpose is to bless you. And then I had repented of that because I knew that that wasn't true. God's purpose is to bless the bride and fulfill it in Christ. But I told you, I'm sure I've told all of you at one time or another, but I was a guest on the show Good News, which was produced by the Full Gospel Businessmen. And I can't remember which auditorium, but it was a live audience. And it was not, I think it was at McFarland Auditorium at SMU. I don't remember, but Demos Shakarian was the host. And I had, within a few months before that, seen the stupidity of that. So Demos introduced me, and he spent more time talking about my background and what I had done in politics and the government and everything than he did about God. But and he brought me on stage to a wild applause, and he said, "And now, what has God done for you today, Ole?" And I know the answer. I said, "He's messed up my life today, just like he's done every day that I've known him." It's another one of those occasions where you could have heard a pin drop, because it was the opposite of what their whole basis of teaching was. And it's, you know, the other time was when I was on 700 Club. And I said, "God's either got to find me a wife or make fornication not a sin." I mean, because I wanted there to be truth and honesty in the scriptures, because I had just read the Confessions of St. Augustine. And he had said, after 12 years of being a believer, he said, "Lord, makes me chaste, but not just yet." And so, you know, it's but there is no honesty, and that's why people have to hide. And there is no place to be honest. And that's why every once in a while I feel sorry for people like Benny Hinn and Paul and Jan Crouch, because, you know, we know they're just weak, ordinary flesh, but they have no vehicle for confession, for describing their own fears and weakness, because they have to continue to put on a face, they think. They don't understand that if they would be totally vulnerable, could revolutionize Christianity. But and so, as you know, as we've talked about, the bigger the organizations that we've investigated, the more they're like snake pits. They're dens of iniquity in terms of the hidden activities that are going on. And then they have the temerity to say, "Check the fruit, not the person." And so the fruit to them is the number of converts. Well, that's not the fruit in the scriptures. The fruit in the scriptures is the personality of Christ: love, joy, peace, long suffering, goodness, meekness, mercy, etc., etc. But it's not just true out there. It's true here. They're still acting here. There's still lack of vulnerability. There's still the tendency to try to figure out what you're going to say before you say it, instead of just bubbling forth. And I don't know what else I can do to let you know that there's the freedom to say whatever is going on. Because I promise you, if you are hiding it, it will produce a lot of things that you don't want. Namely, what it will produce is that you will end up leaving. I mean, I don't want any of you to do that. I mean, I say I do. Not really, I want you to, you know, come into the fullness of the knowledge of Christ, where you know you never again have to hide. And that's really part and parcel of what discipleship is. It's the essence of what discipleship is. Discipleship isn't making a bunch of converts. You must be a convert before you can be a disciple, but Jesus' instructions were to make disciples of all people, not converts. He could make converts by the snap of his fingers. But it's discipleship that takes time, because it requires the depth of honesty that you've never even dreamed of before. And if you don't, I promise you, if you keep hiding, the idolatry will win. I mean, other idols will then have power over you. And you'll be convinced that they're the absolute right thing to do. What really breaks my heart is to think of the number of people who name the name of Christ that have no forum for their own weakness or weaknesses or even sin. Because the system forces you to put on a face.
And then you never are able to confront who you really are, because you've got to have that. It doesn't happen in a body where you can.
There's a sense of protection. And that. You know, I. For just about everyone that has ever left here, the fundamental reason they left, other than blaming it on me, is that they were hiding some critical issues. But if you expose or even challenge, not to necessarily make it public, that's a whole other world. But there must be an arena and a place where you can go to confess your faults one to another. And it seems to me, we talked about this a long time ago, that some people here aren't taking advantage of that. That you're still hiding. And that makes me very sad. Everybody understand? Part of the reason that people end up hiding is because of shame. And so there's no, well, it's not part, it's the total reason. And so unless you can deal with shame, you got to go back to this thing that maybe some of you forget on a day-to-day basis. That your trespasses, even in the New Testament, what many, many times is defined as your sins, are the things that you do. The sin, singular, is what you are. Many, many believers, including me, think that the essence of sin is shame, because it's what keeps you in bondage. And so there has to be a place to laugh at your own shame. If you can laugh at it, then you can be free from it. But if you keep it hidden, God help you. So, you know, the offering for sin is the fundamental reason for the cross. It's that you understand that you are dead. And until you know that, you can never deal with shame. Because shame is the remnant of the old man that still you think is your identity. But freedom is the remnant of the new man, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Think of the number of people, what many of us, what many in the world called ambition, is simply running from shame. And that's why when they achieve what they want, their lives fall apart. Because the ambition, which is so admired in a free enterprise society, runs rampant because of shame. There's no avenue or no forum to deal with shame. So I believe sin and shame are synonymous. Anyhow, anybody have any response?
Like that, sin and shame. I was just thinking about when you confess, at a place to confess, you also need the other part of it where somebody goes, you know, that sounds like a bunch of bullshit. You know, it's good because you're not able to even confess right. You know, you just do, you know, so there has to be that reflection back that's like,
and causes you to dig deeper.
Something else going on here.
Yeah. Because I promise you that all of us will hide our shame under the covering of some other trespass. But that's a whole other story.
It's just valuable, so valuable to have. You know, we've been given this thing that we didn't ever dream could be possible, which is a small group of people that were, you know, all of the same mind and willing to lay down their lives for each other.
Yeah, and it's what's interesting to me is that it was the only thing that, you know, obviously it's the Spirit of God and our common faith, but fundamentally the things that kept those of us that had stayed here is the our common understanding of ourselves as sinners and our own weaknesses. I mean, for those of you that have been here very long, there's nothing that you don't know about me, I don't think. And by the same token, there's probably nothing I don't know about you, but I still know that some of you haven't let it out to the rest of the world, but or the rest of the body. So sometimes I think that we broke up into smaller groups. If I had to do over again, this is what my mind says, that we did that too early because of a lot of reasons. I don't feel like going into that today, but anyway, does anybody have any response to any of this?
I was just thinking of the in the garden with Adam and Eve's reaction to seeing themselves as they truly were naked.
Right.
They felt ashamed.
Yeah, and that's, we've spent many, many years over the course of the 30 or so years that some of us have been around, is that it is the question, who told you you were naked? I.e., who told you you should be different than you are? How can you still condemn yourself when no one else does? Certainly not God. So how can you... And I certainly don't condemn you because, you know, I'm so guilty of everything else. There's no reason I could condemn you for anything. The only thing I'll bust your butt for is for hiding. And I haven't done that very well lately because I've been too ill.
when you talked about laughing and shame, how the hardest I ever laugh is at comedians who say stuff about themselves that just knocks you out and bring stuff like that out. And it is, it takes all the power out of it.
Yeah, and remember, and especially you're mocking yourself. But the only thing in the Talmud, the only reason, the only thing you can mock in the Talmud is idolatry. And essentially that's why we have the door, because that's the purpose of the door, is to mock idolatry, including our own. But if we end up thinking that we're mocking idolatry because we're so perfect, then we're blithering idiots.
It's not fun anymore.
It's not, you know. But back to what I said at the start, that faith is not a commodity. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Whatever your desire is, whatever your want is, well, let's put another, your desire is pure, always. But the want has been filtered through the idolatry. And so the want becomes, instead of a desire, it becomes concupiscence. It becomes this thing that you've got to have. And so that's where the deception comes. Because, and I hear this all the time when I watch religious television, God will give you the desire of your heart. Well, the desire of your heart is Jesus Christ. That's the only... I'm not going to use that stupid cliche that there's a hole in your heart that can only be filled by Jesus. But that's fundamentally true. He is the only one that can fulfill the nirvana, or the emptiness. I mean, which is... That's what all these Eastern religions try to gain, is nothingness. Well... He alone fills the nothingness. He alone fills the place where you're empty. But as long as the desire, your desire, for which has been filtered by your idolatry, which becomes your want, as long as that's there in the temple, and God, because of his humility, he leaves the temple. He cannot occupy where you are. But we confuse it. And that's what the word faith preachers, the health and wealth preachers, have become confused over. Fundamentally, is they've made faith into a commodity to get your wants, instead of faith seeing through everything to see that you already have what you want. You already have the desire in your heart. If the idolatry is gone. Remember Isaiah or somewhere says that I will reveal myself in you when there is no strange God within you. And so faith can't be a commodity. Faith can't be, and God never blesses your wants. The Antichrist blesses your wants because it leads you back into aloneness. What?
Or back to Moldova.
No. She's perfect just like she is. Wherever she goes. The other thing, another biggie, and I'll just touch on it because otherwise Dressanna will yell at me, that I thought everyone knew was that there's only two left, the bride and the whore. And the bride is the vessel of mercy, and the whore is the vessel of wrath. And the greatest enemy of the mercy is cause and effect. If you can stop and think about it, the greatest enemy of mercy is, if I do this, this will happen. Because that's not mercy. That's praying to the god Marduk or Bel or Baal or whatever you want to call him. It's all the same one. Or Molech or... But, I mean, so people that teach cause and effect are the priests of Baal, the priests of Babylon. that are deceiving the Lord's people. But I promise you, if you come against their cause and effect, they'll kill you. And think they were doing God holy service. I think we have know of a few examples of that. That's fundamentally the things that I was totally surprised about, that everyone that named the name of Christ didn't understand or believe when I became a believer. So the last 2 days covered that. Any response?
What's funny is that very few believe that.
Well, we know of. I think it's where people, where the church is persecuted, they know it a whole lot better. Probably better than we do. That's why Bonhoeffer was in some of the earliest church fathers were, you know, so far beyond us. Bonhoeffer has screwed up ideas too, just like all of them. Everybody understand perfectly. I wish we'd recorded this, so it could be a great last word.
That's what we need, is a great last word.
We need a great last word. I was being funny. I was very futile attempt at being funny. That's why I should stay away from the door.
Did you notice I didn't bite it?
Scott said he's been listening to morning Bible stuff.
It's great. It helps a lot. It's like being on the same page.
Why would you call him?
call in show.
Why don't you call in and make your play?
Yeah.
Next step is
long time listener.
We'll start a internet thon. Not thong, thon.
Holy. Out of the fullness of the heart.
Okay, anybody else have any response? All right, take it, big guy.